So today we're going to continue to teach about who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ. And everything I'm going to say, I'm going to confirm from Scripture. I went into the Word, and I've done a lookup on my computer about in whom, in Christ, all these things about what He has done for us when you're in Him. And I'm going to continue today on these things. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I read the Word of God and discuss it, I ask you to open our hearts and minds to the magnificent truths that are in this Word. I rebuke the devil and command him to get out of this place and not blind nobody's mind here today, and when they leave this place, not to steal a word out of their mind or heart. And Father, I ask you to quicken our hearts and our minds so we can hide the Word of God in our hearts so we will not sin against you. And I praise you and thank you for doing these things for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the King. Okay, to start off with today, I'm going to go back to a scripture where we stopped last week, and that was in Romans 8. Romans 8:39. I stopped at verse 13. I'm going to skip down to Romans 8:39. And I want to show you what, if you're in Christ, it says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's not anything that can separate you from the love of God. Now, there will be, you have to remember that. If you don't remember that, you will think there's times God's left you. You will think that when the devil comes upon you and begins to torment you, to torment your family, your wife, your husband, your children, or even your some of your relatives, or he puts sickness and disease upon you, or he causes things around you to be destroyed, things in your house, your car, your property, all the things the devil can come against you with. I mean, the weather can come against you and everything. You will think, God, you don't love me. Where are you? Well, let me tell you, he's right there. And he's given you all power to defeat the devil with. He's there with you. You got to get that in your spirit that he's with you. But the devil's going to come against you. So you're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to pray more. And if you don't learn how to pray, I mean, Cheryl, she's learned. Every time the devil attacks her anyway, the first thing you call me on the phone or say, honey, you got to pray for me. The devil's doing this to me or whatever. Well, let me tell you, if you're serving God, the devil is against you. Get used to it. He's going to attack you. And remember, we're not trying to persuade God to do something he's reluctant to do when we pray. We're on his side. Or he's on our side, whichever way you want to look, right, Fred? So the answer to his promises to his obedient children is yes and amen every time. It's never no. He don't answer your prayer no one time and maybe another time and then yes sometimes. The answer to his promises to his obedient children are yes and amen every time, because that's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Well, now then, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Then Romans 9:1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, then, right there in that little message, if you're in Christ, when Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. Now, then, if you tell the truth, your loins are supposed to be girded about with truth, the truth of the Word of God. That is part of your armament. People say, well, I get up this morning, I put on my armor. Ephesians 6:10, put on the whole armor of God. Then he begins to list it. The whole armor, well, I put on my helmet of salvation. Say, if you got saved, that thing's supposed to be on 24-7. Don't you take it off and leave it at night when you go to bed, because if you do, the devil's going to get you. Now then, if you've girded your loins about with truth, then you have that protection on as long as you tell the truth. When you tell a lie, you just got a crack in your armor, and there's going to be an error come in. Now, if you've got your shield of faith up, you don't put it down when you go to bed and put it back on in the morning when you get up. You have your shield of faith surrounding you by faith 24-7. Because the devil, he's going to attack you. I'm going to tell you, you can't imagine where the devil attacks you. This morning, I didn't know what time it was, but I was obviously having a dream. Usually Cheryl's not awake this time of the morning. But obviously this morning, for some reason, she was. I jumped out of bed this morning. It was, I don't know if it's daylight or what, but we got, all the curtains were pulled and everything, so you really can't tell. It's pretty dark in there. So I jumped out of bed and I said, "What time is it?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Oh my goodness, I've got to be at that men's breakfast at 7:30. She said, "Honey, today's Sunday. Go back to bed." I thought it was Tuesday. I was having a dream that it was Tuesday morning. I was supposed to be at speaking at men's breakfast over in Florida at 7:30 Tuesday morning. And I thought it was Tuesday morning. You know, the devil's working on me. He's putting dreams in my head. And I thought I was late. I'm still 2 days ahead of time. You know, you see how, see where I'm coming? He'll work on you every way he can. So you got to realize what's going on. He's working to deceive you. But in Romans 9:1, Paul, the truth has got to be in you. If you're in Christ, that's all that should be in you is the truth. He said, "I lie not." You should never lie as a Christian. You should never tell a lie as a Christian. If you do, you got a crack in your armament, and when you do, the devil can fire one of those fiery darts through that. So don't ever tell a lie. If you tell a lie, he's going to get you. Somebody says, "Well, just a little lie." That's all he's looking for, just a little lie. And he'll break in, and he'll shoot a fiery dart, and it'll bring something to you you don't like. Then he says, "My conscience also bearing with me witness in the Holy Ghost." Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, if you haven't asked the Lord every day of your life to fill you overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit, it should become an ongoing thing. When you wake up praising the King in the morning, you got to realize that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, for some reason diminishes and goes away. Just like using gas in your car. You have to stop and refill your car. I mean, it happened in the book of Acts. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And then a few days later, they're back in there praying for a refilling. And the place was shaken. And the Holy Spirit came back upon them. And they went out and done great signs and miracles and wonders in the name of Jesus. Well, the Holy Ghost is the one that does those things. Without him, you can't do nothing. So you ask him to fill you with that Holy Ghost and with power every day. And believe that you have it. Believe that you have it. When you ask, you must believe you have it with no doubt. Then begin to thank him and praise him for the Holy Spirit. And say, "Use me to bring great glory and honor to your name." Then in Romans 12:5, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." That's something the church doesn't do well. We got to realize that as Christians, you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're here to fight the battle together, not against each other. To fight the battle together. So when you walk in church one morning, or regardless of where you are, when you walk in, and this is what we do as normal Christians. You walk in and say, "Hey, Brother Fred, how are you doing this morning?" And if he's a normal Christian, he said, "Well, I'm doing pretty good, but my allergies is bothering me today. My carpal tunnel, you know, I'm getting a little older, so, you know, my hands are hurting a little, my carpal tunnel." And we say, "Oh, praise the Lord, brother. I feel sorry for you, but I'll pray for you." You're lying. You ain't going to pray for him. When you say you're going to pray for him, you don't no more do that. If you walk into a brother and he makes those kind of statements, you say, "Let me kick them devils out of you right now in the name of Jesus." That's what you need to do, right, Fred? You don't wait. You know, you pray right then. You know, like that woman Home Depot the other day come up to me and she said, "Thurman, I've got this prayer request. I want you to pray for me." And I said, "What's this?" And she told me, and I put one hand upon her shoulder. People walking all around us. And I raised the other hand and began to rebuke the devil and praise God. This woman turned red, purple, green, blue. And when I got through praying, she says, "My goodness, I didn't know you was going to do it right here in front of everybody." I said, "Don't ask me to pray, woman. If you ain't expecting, I'm fixing to pray. I'm going to pray." So she said, "Now I realize that's what we all need to do." I mean, are we the body working together?
Yes.
Yes. And we all have the same common enemy?
Yes.
Yes, the devil, the beast, and he's coming against us. So we need to be together as one. And we are just like in this church here. Many times people will come up, especially we have a larger group, people will come up here for me to pray for. But you know, I got all kinds of prayer warriors in here. Fred can pray, Benjamin can pray, Cheryl can pray, Brittany can pray. We got all kinds of people. Lori, James, you know, all kinds of people here that can pray the prayer of faith for you. Gloria, I mean, I just name them. I can look at it. All kinds of people. So when you come up here, if you don't or can't get to me quick enough for your problem, find one of these other prayer warriors. We're all one body in one. And I mean, it's something when Lori, a precious little lady that got healed a couple of years ago, has a problem that she has. I walked in out the minister center the other day and she said, "Thurman, I have a real problem." I said, "What's that, Lori?" She said, "I'm getting so many praise reports, I can't remember them all."
Oh,
isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a real problem to have? Hey, that's the way we should be as Christians. We should be praying in faith, and everything we pray for after we get people's sins repented of, we should have those things come back. I mean, just like Gloria, we get letters that praise reports about Gloria all the time. I mean, this woman prayed the prayer of faith for me, and I got healed, or I got delivered, or my finances were better, whatever. Praise God for her. I thought, well, everybody ought to be like Gloria. You know, everybody ought to be praying the prayer of faith, right, Gene? We need to know how to pray the prayer of faith. You know, but I mean, I'll say one thing, but I mean, you know, she don't need a telephone. You know, you can hear Gloria at least in the six states without a telephone. When she comes against the devil, I mean, the ministry center vibrates out there. She knows how to come against the devil. But that's what you got to do. You get rough with him, right? You get rough with the devil. You knock him out. You knock his lights out. You don't say, "Oh, God, if it be your will, would you heal so-and-so?" You say, "No, get your sins repented of. I'm driving that devil out of you, and I'm going to guarantee you Jesus is going to heal you." That's what you do. And we get to see those. And, of course, last Sunday, we had one of those men come up and give his praise report, the guy from Weatherford, Tommy, that had terminal cancer. Some of you were here and heard him tell that testimony. I mean, 2 months before that, he came to me with terminal cancer. They were going to, MD Anderson, we're going to have to give him chemo and radiation. And him and Tom McClintock, his pastor, brought him over to Ministry Center, and I spent 5 hours with those two men. Maybe six. I know, a long time. And then kicked the devil out of him and prayed the prayer of faith for him after he repented. And when he goes back, I mean, his carpal tunnel went away. His pain in his hands went away. All the problems and pains went away. And now he goes to MD Anderson like week before last now. And they checked him 2 months after that. He's healed. He's healed. Isn't God awesome? He's awesome. So when we fight together or bind together and fight against the enemy, which has been defeated, we can kick him out. But that's what God called us to do. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one and members one of another, the body of Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Now if you're in Christ and you're out there praying for wisdom, the main thing we ought to do is just thank him for it. But if you don't know that, he says you can ask for it. Some people don't know that it's already given to you. Wisdom is yours. But since you don't know that, it's okay to ask for it. But all you got to do is thank him because it's already yours. If you're in Christ, he's made that for you. So begin to thank him and praise him. "Lord, I have wisdom. I have all wisdom." What is wisdom? I used to wonder about that. I think, "Lord, what is wisdom?" And then one day I got revelation on wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have. That's what wisdom is. A lot of people go to school and get an education. I mean, they get a high school education. They get a college education. They get a master's degree. They get a PhD and don't know what to do with none of it. They don't have enough sense, it appears, to come in out of the rain. Here a guy is with a PhD, all this knowledge in his head, and he's working down at McDonald's as a manager for just a little bit of money. He has no wisdom. Probably he's not in Christ. And if he is in Christ, he's not studied the Word of God, and he doesn't know what's his. Because when he becomes a Christian, all of this wisdom and sanctification and redemption becomes his, and then all the treasures and mysteries of the universe are hidden in Christ, which is in him, according to Colossians 2:3. And all he's got to do is call upon the Lord and thank him and praise him for these things, and that wisdom will flow through him, and he can do great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. But most people don't know it, because the devil has blinded our mind to the truth. Then it says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now then, when you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. But let me tell you something. When I ask you how long you've been a Christian, and you say 50 years, I don't expect you to still be a babe in Christ. And God doesn't expect you to be a babe in Christ at 50 years of age in Christ. Say you were 15 years old, and now you're 65 years old. He expects you to be a full-grown, mature, perfect Christian. But you know what? By the time I had been a Christian, 25 years I'd been a Christian. I'm now serving as a Sunday school teacher in a church. I'm serving as a deacon in a church. I'm doing all kinds of things in a church. Have I ever led anybody to Christ? No, not one. Do I have any idea who I am in Christ? No. Something wrong with this picture. How can you get to be a deacon? How can you be a Sunday school teacher all those years and have no idea about who you are in Christ? Never seen an answer to prayer? Have no knowledge of the devil? You just come into church every time the doors open. You love Jesus. The devil comes upon you with sickness and disease, you just go to the doctor. You don't know how to pray a prayer of faith. Nobody's ever taught you. That's where I lived. Until one day I began to open this book and read it. When I really began to read the book, I thought, Lord, if this book is true, I am in big trouble. Because I'm not doing what this book says. I'm not even coming close to doing what it says. And if I am, and when I do this, if I become an obedient child, you've made me unlimited promises. There's no limit on what I can do. I said, Lord, this couldn't possibly be true. And the devil's over there saying, you're right, you're right, you're right. These things are not true. You're misinterpreting all of this. But I found out I wasn't misinterpreting. It was all true. But we remain babes in Christ, many of us, all through our entire life. We never get into the spirit world and see what we can do. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's when you're supposed to become on fire with life. You're not under the devil's domain anymore. The Word of God says he delivered you from the kingdom of hell, the kingdom of darkness, out there in the muddy, sloppy sin pit of the world, and he translated you into the kingdom of light and put a clean, pure, white robe on you and made you a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. Now you're supposed to act like one. But I didn't know that. I read that, but it didn't mean anything to me. Second Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph." What? "Now thanks be unto God, which always," not just part of the time, "he always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." Now, if we're to triumph in Christ, and we're to make known or make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. You and I, as I run into a place like I did in Baltimore yesterday, and I run into a man that's lost, and I have been given all power and all dominion over the devil, I can kick that devil out of that man and ask the Father in Jesus' name to convict him of sin and expect him to bring him into the kingdom and save him. And people say, oh, I prayed for Uncle John for 30 years. I prayed for my husband. I prayed for my sister. I prayed for my wife for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And I've asked God, God, please, if you're willing, will you save Uncle John? And he says, that's what I wanted to do. I've been trying to do that all the time, but I can't answer that kind of a prayer. You've got to do something in faith. Yes, it is my will to save not only Uncle John, but the whole world. Well, then, Lord, what's the problem? Read the Word. I told you if there's any lost on this earth, they're lost because the God of this world, which is the devil's blinded to man. I told you I'd give you all power and authority over him. He has to be subject to you, so kick him out in my name. I told you nobody can be saved except to be drawn by the Father, which I send the Holy Spirit. You asked me to send the proper labor into the harvest to bring Uncle John in after you've kicked the devil out of him, and I'll get him saved for you. How long did it take me to get Nicholas saved yesterday? 5 minutes. That was his name, Nicholas. The man stood out on the front porch with his wife with tears running down after it was over, and I said, praise God, brother, welcome into the kingdom of God. He said, thank you for being here today. You know what happened in his life right there that day? His eternity just took a change for the better. Every one of you that are born again know that man at 66 years old was headed to the pit of hell. If he'd have died, he'd have been in hell, in the flames of hell. Do you want to see anybody go there? I don't. So what do? You pray. You come against the forces of darkness. You quote the word of God to the king. And then you call the king into remembrance of his promises. And when you call him into remembrance of his promises, he sets up and takes notice. Jeremiah 1:12, he said, I watch over my word to perform my word. You can do all the begging and pleading and everything you want to, and nothing will happen. But when you start speaking the word, the angels of God hearken to the word, the angels of hell hearken to the word, and the Holy Spirit hearkens to the word of God spoken in the earth today, and it brings forth great and awesome miracles. The book of Acts has never gone away. Only we got to a point where we don't believe the book. But when we believe it, we get people saved and healed and delivered. Then he says, 2 Corinthians 3:14. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, the veil that's blinded their minds, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. When you read the Old Testament to a Jew, the veil is there. But when you read the New Testament to them, and you kick the devil out and get them saved when they come into the kingdom, it's like yesterday, that man was a totally different man. Totally different. And he was. He now has become a born-again Christian. But does that mean the devil's going to give up on him? Absolutely not. He will attack him even more now because he's become a son of God. You're really not in a war till you get saved. When you get saved, that's when the battle starts, isn't it, Benjamin? When you get saved and you come into the kingdom, the devil says, Thurman Scrivener got saved when he was 11 years old, and up until that time, I didn't need hardly no demons, maybe one or two after him. But once he got saved, I sent some of my best demons out there to keep him out of the Word and to blind his mind to the truth. And they did a good job for 25 or 30 years. a good job. But because of the pounding of the Holy Ghost, continuing to beat on this, and it's kind of like a levee. You want to build a great big giant levee. If the water keeps beating on that and beating on it and beating on it, eventually it will cut a little hole under it. Once it gets a little hole and the water starts flowing under it, you're in trouble. You can't stop it. You better get out. And that's what the devil does to us. He keeps pounding us, pounding on us. He'll put devastating things in our pathway to destroy us or whatever, or put sickness and disease upon us as Christians, and we yield to it. And we yield to sickness and disease. We don't stand in faith, so the devil takes us out with all kinds of sickness and disease. How many Christians do I know that I've heard say what I used to say? Well, you know, if you got sick, we pray for you. Do you think God will do anything? Well, I don't know whether he will or not. He's sovereign. He can if he wants to, but I don't know if he will or not. You know how many prayers I saw answered like that? None. None. But when you get a man to repent of his sins of unbelief and you kick that devil out of him, I've seen people instantly healed of terminal cancer. I'm going to tell you something that's a dangerous thing happened to me. I got a woman healed a few years ago of terminal cancer. This woman was a beautiful woman. Her husband idolized her. She was so beautiful. Instead of making God his idol, he made his wife his idol. She came down with terminal cancer. And it's amazing where he attacked her. Breast cancer. Destroyed her breast. She was on her deathbed. Had a matter of days to live when I was called. And I went there and I explained to that husband and that wife who the enemy was and what he was doing. They both repented. And I cast that devil of hell out of that woman. And the thing that I remember about that woman, that little woman was probably weighed 75 or 80 pounds max that day. I looked across at her and I said, "Ma'am, have you heard enough of the Word of God to be healed?" And that little Baptist woman, I'll never forget what she said. She looked across at me and she said, "Sir, after what I've heard you teach today, I know it's a devil. You come over here and you cast this devil of hell out of me and I'm going to be healed right now in the name of Jesus." That's the kind of faith God's looking for. I went over there and anointed that little dried up woman with oil, anointed her, cast that devil out of her, and that woman got up off that deathbed and went with her husband to take me to the airplane and come back and stopped and had a fried shrimp dinner, and she hadn't had a bite to eat in 3 weeks. She was healed. By faith, she received what belonged to her, and she gained all of her weight back. 6-8 months later, some people had paid my airplane ticket to go down there, brought a picture of that woman to me, and I looked at this 125 or 30 pound beautiful woman with a big beautiful smile, and I said, "Wow, I don't know who that woman is." And they said, "That's so-and-so." I said, "Oh, she looks a little different today than she did when I was down there." But that man went back to idolizing that woman. She was totally healed for about 5 years. And then somebody asked the question one day, "Isn't it wonderful what Jesus did for your wife?" He said, "You know, it really wasn't that that healed her. It was the herbs and things that I had been giving her that healed her instead of the Word of God." You know what happened to that woman? In 30 days, that woman was dead. God don't share his glory with nothing. When that man thought it was him and the stuff he was giving her that got her healed, that beautiful woman that he idolized, in 30 days, she was dead. You got to be careful who you give the glory to. Don't you ever take it. You can be dead. Smith Wigglesworth was totally convinced. That's why he died at 87. People got to where they'd call in. They said, "Mr. Wigglesworth, would you come over to America or Australia or wherever? We know that you're the healer." He said, "I'm not the healer." He said, "Jesus is a healer." He said, "Don't you dare say I'm the healer." He said, "God will take me out." And people began to think he was a healer. They looked to him. He was a healer. He said, "No, it's Jesus." But at 87, he dropped dead in a pulpit preaching a message. 87. God took him out. God don't share his glory with nobody. He's the healer. He's the savior. He's the deliverer. This whole thing's about him. We're just very fortunate. We get to be the body. And we get to speak in his name and see him do these things. But don't you dare ever take any of the credit for getting somebody saved, healed, or delivered. It was God speaking through you that got it done. He could have done it through anybody, but he's looking for a willing vessel. So when he starts moving, you know how easy it is to get puffed up? When God starts using you in a mighty way, somebody comes in and thinks you're somebody. Hey, you got to say, just like Paul did that day, look at me, guys, tears his shirt open. I'm flesh and blood just like you. But let me tell you about the one that did these wonderful things. It's not me. But he does allow us to be used to speak these things. But don't ever take the glory. He can take you out in a heartbeat. He don't share his glory with nobody. Nobody. So give him the glory and the praise. Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How do we become children? How do we become children of God? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we become children. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you were baptized into Christ, if you believe that, you believe that by faith, you were saved. Now then, only God knows who is and who's not his children. But you can tell pretty well. You can't always be right, but you can tell pretty well. If somebody comes in and says they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and 5 years later, they haven't been back to church, they don't want nothing to do with Jesus, they're still out there in the world. They're still lying, cheating, committing adultery or whatever, stealing, doing all the things the devil does. More than likely, they never got saved. But you really don't know that. Only God really knows the truth. But you can come against the devil and you can change that person. If they did get saved, then the devil moved right in and blinded their mind to the truth. Because when you get a person that really knows Jesus, I want you to think about what I'm saying. If you really, really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will never pick up another cigarette to smoke it. If you really, really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will never get drunk again in your life. You know that? If you really, really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will never commit adultery on your spouse. Never. For the Holy Ghost in you will keep you from doing it. Now, if you're just a born-again Christian that's walking carnally, there ain't no telling what you're going to do. But if you've studied this word and you've learned who you are, those are things that I believe that no man or woman would ever do again. You may not be in agreement with me, but I'm going to tell you, a possessor of eternal life, a true spirit-filled son of God, will never, ever smoke or get drunk or go out and lie and steal and cheat and commit adultery on their spouse. If you really know Jesus and he's in you and you're full of the Holy Ghost and power, you ain't going to do those stupid things. You cannot be drawn away by the devil to do those things. But unfortunately, I don't know too many of those kind of people in the church. Do you? What's wrong with us? Now, if you're a babe in Christ and you're carnal, like Paul talks about, and you're a 6-month-old babe, I can understand. When you brought your children into the world and they were 1 year old, you couldn't tell what they were going to do. You might even have a child 3 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old, And they, you can't never tell. I mean, you have the preacher over, like people used to do a long time ago. We don't have time to do these things no more. But when I was a child, Mother used to invite the preacher once every 2 or 3 months home with us for dinner. You know, we didn't have things to do like we have today. So when he'd come to the house, you know, you'd have a little boy sitting there, and the little boy is 4 or 5 years old. And he might say something at the dinner table like, you know, Brother, I want to know, do you know my daddy says you're the worst preacher he ever seen? And daddy just shrieks. Now, see, he didn't know. He just repeating what he'd heard. Wow. Mom and daddy sat there telling him, daddy said, you know, I think brother's only, he's the worst preacher I ever heard in my life, you know. So we invite me to dinner one day. I'm sitting there, 5 years old, says, Brother Thurman, my daddy says you're the worst preacher he ever heard in his life. 5 years old will do that kind of stuff, won't they? Well, see, that's the way we are when we're babes in Christ. You can never tell what we're going to say or we're going to do. So you really have to be on guard. So the thing about it is, don't be that little child. Don't stay that little child. Get in the Word. Begin to learn how to pray. Seek God. And grow up out of that carnality into a Spirit-filled son or daughter of the King of the universe. And you can grow up rather quickly. It all is contingent upon how much of the time you spend with God in His Word, right? You get in His Word, you begin to read this and pray over it. Read it and pray over it. Say, Lord, I don't want to be a carnal Christian no more. I want to be a Spirit-filled, I want to be a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. I want to be a Christian that you can use for your glory. I am putting those 8 series we taught on how to walk in God's anointing on 2 DVDs instead of 8 videotapes. I put 4 of them on last week, and eventually I'll have the other 2 on, the other CD or DVD made with the other 4 teachings on it. So you'll be able to see all those 15, 14, 15, 16 hours of teaching on 2 DVDs. If you want to know what you got to do to walk in that anointing that everybody wants to walk in, you want to know what the Word of God says about it, you need to get those and listen to those 2 teachings. Actually, it was those 2 DVDs, which are now 8 teachings. It is very demanding to walk where God wants you to walk. And that's why there's so few people that do it. They will not spend the time with God to learn who they are and what they can do and how to do it in faith. But it's available. Then he says, verse 27, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Verse 20, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm certainly glad that God knows this. But the church that I was raised up in doesn't know this. They've read it, but it's not become a revelation to you. You want to bring a woman into the Baptist church and let her speak from the pulpit as a preacher? You're going to have a war on your hands. You want to bring a woman in and make her a deaconess? You're going to have a war on your hands. But do you know, in the New Testament church, there was deaconesses and deacons. And God called out women to be prophets. He called them out to be healers. He called them out to do everything. I am certainly glad that God doesn't know that He can't use a woman. Because since He don't know that, He uses them many ways to do many things. Now, the devil lies to us, and women are very limited in what they can do in most churches. I think about the story I heard a woman tell. I heard her tell this personally. Her and her husband went to Bible college together. And it was a charismatic kind of a Bible college. And they went to Georgia, I believe it was, and they started a church down there. And they got a pretty good size, a few hundred. And every once in a while, her husband would ask her to preach. And every time she would, there was one guy out there, every time he saw she was going, he'd get up and go outside. And she asked her husband one day, Every time I get up to speak, he gets up and walks outside. Would you ask him why he does it? He said, he never comes back in while I'm speaking. So he asked him. He said, you know, I don't believe women should be allowed to speak in the church. For sure not teach. So he said, well, okay. You know, that's your conviction. So one day, after her husband told his wife about this, she got up to speak one day, and he left. And she said, you know, I really don't want to offend him, so maybe I shouldn't speak. He said, no, it's okay. When the Holy Ghost moves on me that I feel like you're supposed to give a message, you just get up and give the message. So he left. So that day after church, they were all gathering around outside. People were leaving and everything. And all of a sudden, they heard a screech of tires and a thud, and a body goes flying, and it lands over here, and it was the guy that got up and went outside. He had been hit by a car, and a paramedic that had in his church that had been in Vietnam runs over and checks him, and this sister so-and-so, she runs over there, and she said, the paramedic says, sister, I'm sorry, it's too late. He has no heartbeat. That impact killed him. That woman says, no, Lord, no, I'm not going to let him go out like this. And that woman began to pound on his chest and say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you told me I could ask anything. I command life back in him in the name of Jesus. This woman is really, people think she's making a fool out of herself. She's pounding on this guy's chest. Live in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, he opens his eyes, and he's okay. And the paramedic says, he's okay. And so they call 911, send him down to the hospital. They check him out. He comes back, and that night at the service, he's there. And she's supposed to speak. And so she gets up to speak. And when she gets up and starts to speak, he raises his hand and says, hallelujah, sister, preach on. I mean, when a woman raises you from the dead, it's time to listen to her, don't you think? When the devil's killed you and that little woman raised him from the dead. Don't you get glad God doesn't know that he can't use women? He can use a woman just like he can a man, because in the church, there's neither male nor female. We're just all one in Christ Jesus. And we need to get a hold of that. You are no more important than the person sitting beside you. I don't care what nationality, color, creed, anything, male or female. It makes no difference. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Wow. We got to get a hold of that. We got to work together as sons and daughters of the King of the universe. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. As many as walk according to this rule, if you're in Christ, peace be on you. Now, what if you don't walk according to that rule? Then peace is not going to be upon you. He's speaking a blessing. He's speaking a blessing. As long as we realize we're all one in Christ, then Paul has spoken a blessing over every one of us, which will come to pass. He spoke these blessings years and years ago. Now, we can still speak those and do those today. But we need to realize, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creature. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And as many as walk according to this rule, as new creatures in Christ, one, the body is one, peace be on them, and mercy upon us all. Those are blessings that Paul spoke to us. Now, Ephesians 1. And I'm telling you, when I got a hold of this, when I read this, I thought, this cannot possibly be true. This just can't be true. It's too good to be true. And when you read something, the guy says, call us, and for $29.95, we'll give you a package to show you how to become a multimillionaire. Let me tell you, that sounds too good to be true, and if you see it on television, it's too good to be true, so don't waste your $29. If they knew how to do that, they would be there. So when you get those kind of deals, it sounds too good to be true. So we have been steeped in the world system, and the world system, the devil, will do things like that to make things sound too good to be true, and they will be. But he'll try his best to deceive you, to get you to buy things and do things, and probably every one of us has been suckered in on some of those things at one time or another. I know I have. You know, I've tried little things that sounded very good, and usually it didn't work out. If you want to be blessed, you got to do it God's way, not the devil's way. But listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, who's this to? All of us. Not only was he writing it to the Christians at Ephesus, but to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, are you a faithful Christian? Then this is promises to you. If you are a faithful Christian walking in obedience to God's word, this promises to you. What if you're not a faithful Christian? What if you're walking in disobedience? Then it's not to you. But it's only to those that walk faithful. Grace be to you and peace from God to the person that's walking faithful in Christ Jesus. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this promise. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are you a faithful Christian in Christ? Are you walking in obedience to his word? That not only shall grace and peace be multiplied to you, walking in faithfulness and obedience to the word, but all spiritual blessings or spiritual gifts are already yours. He's already given those to us and laid them out on the table and said, here they are. They're yours. Take them and run with them. What? Well, Lord, I've been praying for the gift of knowledge for years. I've been praying for the gift of wisdom for years. I've been praying for the gift of miracles for years. I've been praying for the gift of healing for years. And he said, you've been wasting your breath.
Amen.
I've already given it to you. Take it and act on it. Run with it. Do something. You see somebody that needs something, if you're grown in Christ, you see a brother that needs something, you see a person out there in the workplace that gets burned or whatever it may be, run up and use that gift. I've already given it to my faithful, obedient children that are walking in obedience to my word. Walk up and do something to them. Pray for them. Lay hands on them. Say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Quote the word, and I'll watch over the word to perform it. You want to see God do some wonderful things? Learn who you are, and then act on his word. I mean, I know I've told some of these stories so many times, some of you getting tired of hearing them. But I'll tell you what, when you take the word of God, every time I think about just a few years ago when that little woman, I don't even know if that Spanish woman was a Christian or not, but all I know is there was a need. And I knew these spiritual gifts belonged to me as a son of God. And when I hear this woman screaming and go look and see all that skin burned off of her arm, that woman's in pain. Now, what do I have in me? All these mighty powerful things as a son of God. All I got to do is act on them. I don't have to go say, oh God, would you please give me the gift of healing? Would you give me the gift of miracles so I can, Lord, I might be able to do something for this poor woman? He said, no, son, I've already blessed you with all those things. Go use it. I've given you that power. Go do something with it. So then that's when you step out in faith. And the world thinks you're making to make a fool out of yourself when everybody's doing everything they know how to do. Doctoring with medicine and salve and all the stuff they do, cold water, and you run up and quote the word. Jesus said in Isaiah 53:4 that he bore your pain so you won't have to have that pain. He bore your griefs and your sorrows, which means pain and sickness in the Hebrew. If Jesus bore your pain, does he plan for you to have pain? Nope. So you say, Jesus said in Isaiah 53:4, he bore your pain. So woman, you want to bear it. And then in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus told me to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then in Mark 11:23, the king says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I shall have whatsoever I say. I said, woman, I guarantee you're going to get a supernatural healing from the king, and his name is Jesus. And you turn and walk off. Everybody think, wow. The Lone Ranger just swooped by here and quote a few words and he's gone. Now, I might have been the Lone Ranger, but I was speaking God's mighty word. And who watches over his word to perform it? The king. So within minutes, this poor woman had burned her arm, had no pain. If you've ever had a burn, especially one that's a foot long on your arm and 2 or 3 inches wide, if you've ever had anything like that, you know you need something supernatural. Very few people get it, but it's available to everybody. But the pain was gone in a few minutes. The woman wouldn't even go to the doctor. She went ahead and worked that evening, and everybody saw this huge blister on her arm. He left it there for everybody to see. I got to see it again when I went up to lunch that evening. Everybody wanted to go to the doctor because we all go by what we see. But I'd made a statement, 3 of them from the Word of God, and I believed it. Her husband even tried to take her to the doctor when she got home, and she wouldn't go because there was no pain. But the next morning, when that little woman woke up and looked at her arm, there's not one single burn or mark on her arm. When she comes to work, Melanie, the little cook, Adelina, how's your arm? She says, look. And Melanie screamed, throwed up her stuff, and she said, my goodness, another answer to Thurman's prayer. Or whenever two guys from Hobart Corporation walks into your office and sitting down telling you what they'll charge you to rebuild one of these huge dish machines, and after you get through with business, you say, by the way, you two guys Christians? Well, yeah. Where do you go to church? I'm a Presbyterian, and I'm a Lutheran. And where do you guys go to church? Sometimes, you know. I said, what a shame. You guys need to be in church all the time. The devil's cheated you. That way you don't ever see no miracles, do you? Miracles? Who ever seen a miracle? We don't see one. And then one of your leads walk in right quick, and Dan said, oh, by the way, I told him we just out there, we had a little problem, so we prayed over and God answered the prayer. And the guy says, what? He said, you've seen answers to prayer? Oh, he said, before he came here, I never seen any. But since he come here, he said, we see miracles every day. It's normal now. What a place to work, huh? Now then, should we all be living there? Absolutely. As Christians, we should all be living there. If you're not seeing God do those kind of things, how many of these spiritual gifts are yours? Now, wait a minute now. What do you not understand about all? I can just see Paul out there on the hills of Ephesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Go do something with this stuff, folks. It was the same church. They said, well, that's nice that it works for Paul, but Hey, it don't just work for Paul. It works for anybody, doesn't it, Gloria? Well, Gloria, she's got a hold of it. I mean, Cheryl's getting a hold of it. I mean, she's praying for all kinds of people. I mean, she prayed for a guy, 2 years ago or something? This guy came up to her the other night in a restaurant. Here she is out there. And he said, you prayed for, I think it was his leg or something.
His knee gave way and he fell on the floor.
Yeah, she had prayed over his leg. He'd fell and hurt his leg. And she right there prayed for him. And he said, I was healed when you prayed for me. You know, right there in a restaurant. I mean, now surely God wouldn't show up in a restaurant. Well, he does. He shows up in cafeterias. He shows up anywhere faith is exhibited. How many of these spiritual blessings or spiritual gifts belongs to the church? All of them. Oh, God, please, if it's possible, would you please, just for just a little while, give me the gift of healing so I might be able to use it? He said, no, I've already given it to you. Go do something. Go act on it. Straighten your act up. Stop sinning. Walk holy before me. And then you go out there and touch somebody in faith in the name of Jesus. And you watch me do my thing. Woo! You get to see him do wonderful things. Blessed be the God and Father. That couldn't be right, could it? That's got to be a misprint in my Bible. Did yours read like that, Fred?
Yes,
it did? We must not be reading it right then, right? What does it say? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with, it must be a few spiritual blessings. But maybe one. It couldn't be all of them, could it, Benjamin? Okay, so it says all. Okay, so if y'all Bible read like mine, then I guess I'm going to have to say it's all. If he's blessed us with all, then what do we have to pray for? It's amazing what he has given us. I'll tell you what we can pray for. We can pray that the eyes of the church will be opened. We can pray to rebuke the devil, command him to get his hands off it, because obviously he's done a good job of blinding the mind of the church. All spiritual blessing, you're supposed to be the healers in the name of Jesus. You're not supposed to be coming to church as Christians to get healed. You're supposed to, you are the healed the devil's trying to make sick.
That's right.
You need to learn that when you go to the throne of grace, when you go up to your daddy's, in fact, I see people all the time say, you know, Mr. Scrivener, I just can't boldly come into the throne of grace. When I try to do that, I go in there, and all of a sudden I think about seeing God there, and I think, oh, God, you'll kill me. I can't come up here. Well, let me tell you, when you see yourself in Christ, you can. Because if you're inside of him, when you walk up there, who's all around you? Christ. When God looks at you, who's he looking at? Christ. Was Christ perfect?
Yes.
Yes, and if you're in him, you're perfect. When you get a hold of that picture, you can walk up before Daddy in the throne of grace and say, Dad, I got a problem down here. That devil's beating up on a certain guy down there. He said, yes, son, I'm listening to you. What do you want? I told you to come boldly in here. You don't come in here crying, begging, pleading. You want him to say, Dad, that devil's beating up on my husband or my wife down there on earth. I'm my grandson, whatever it is. I'm coming against that beast in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to that devil from the throne of grace, and I'm demanding that he get his hands off of my spouse or my grandson or whoever it is. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I ask you to send the mighty Holy Spirit down and begin to convict him of sin and bring him into the kingdom and save him. He said, now we're getting somewhere. That's what I've been trying to do. I've just been waiting on somebody to do something in faith. And when you do it, he does it. And life becomes fun. When you realize the battle that's going on and the power you have over the devil, you can smile about this, can't you, young lady? Yes, you can. You can see him answer your prayers too, can't you, Brittany? And then you don't have to sweat that devil no more, do you? You know he's out there. You know he's going to come by and test you, but you don't have to yield to him no more. When he tries to tempt you with something wrong, you say, oh, devil, I happen to be a daughter of the King of the universe. And I have power over you, so just get behind me, devil. In fact, let me stomp you under my feet.
Amen.
You're trying to get me to sin? I don't go there no more. I'm a child of God. So you got to remind him who you are. Because if he can suck you back down on his level, he'll get you out there where he lives. And then when he gets you out to where he lives, you will have fell from grace, transgressed the law of God. And he says, now I got you. I'll get you. And he does a good job, doesn't he, Fred? He really does. So how many of the spiritual gifts belongs to us? How many are there that's listed in 1 Corinthians 9? Wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, healing, miracles, faith, tongue,
discernment of spirits.
Those all belong to who?
Us,
the church, in Christ. Everything. So you don't have to pray about that, do you? You take them, you repent of your sins of unbelief, and act on these mighty things. You know what the devil will do to you? You know what he did to me that day whenever I come running down that hallway and I grabbed that woman in front of all those people and quoted those things? You know what the devil was doing? He's saying, you fool. You fool. That's just like the night that the Lord, I was sitting back there and the pastor said, let's stand and be dismissed. And whenever we stood up, if I ever been drugged down, led by the Holy Spirit, it was that night. I mean, he pulled me out as I stood up. He pulled me right down that aisle and brought me right down this aisle. And when I got down there, I thought, Lord, what am I going down here for? I didn't know. But this was in a Baptist church. And when I got here, the pastor held his hand out, and I shook his hand with my right hand and laid my left hand upon his shoulder. I started to say, Brother, I don't know why I'm down here. But the minute I started to open my mouth, the Lord spoke to me in a pretty rough tone. He said, Son, get up on that platform and call this church to pray for Martha Scott so I can heal her. Now, I told that Baptist preacher a few months before, when God spoke to me sitting right there on the front row that morning, three times, what to tell that preacher to do for his sister, which was losing her kidneys. And he refused. I told him, and he would not tell. He would not do it. The Lord told me three times, sitting right there where Benjamin's sitting in a Baptist church, and the preacher's right up here. He spoke to me three times that morning, told me what to tell that preacher to do for his daughter, his sister, so she wouldn't have to lose her kidneys. And I went and told him, and he refused to do what he told me. And so she lost her kidneys. And now then she's back. She had a transplant, and now the kidneys have failed, and she's back in the hospital dying. And so the Lord wasn't ready for her to die. So he drugged me out, and I stepped up on that platform. When I stepped up, I said, the Lord just spoke to me. Now, that's something you don't see very often in a Baptist church. I said, the Lord just spoke to me, standing right there. And he told me to call this church to pray for Martha Scott so he can heal her. So I said, let's stand up and pray. That Baptist bunch just stood there. Nobody done nothing. I said, look. If you want to see a God do a miracle, you get down on your knees, get down here at the front, or get out the back door. But I said, if you want to see God do something, you got to do something. He said, come and pray, and he'll heal Martha Scott. And so, people started moving then. And they come, some come to the front, and some knelt, some just stood where they were, some didn't know what to do. They thought, ooh, this crazy guy. But I turned around and knelt there and prayed about 5 minutes, or a few minutes. And while I was standing there, the devil said, oh, you have made a fool out of yourself. Nobody will ever come back to this church ever again. And the pastor's over here screaming his heart out. He's crying to the top of his lungs. I can only hear him saying, this fool, this idiot, he's ruined my church. There's nobody will ever come back here again. I told the devil, I said, devil, you're a liar. I said, I've done exactly what Jesus told me to do, so I'm expecting a miracle. I got up and the old gentleman come up to me and he said, I mean, the word of God says, go lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. I said, woo, yes it does. He said, let's go down to that hospital and lay hands on that girl. I said, let's go. The pastor said, I want to go with you. So six of us got in Buchanan's van. We drove down here, downtown Dallas, walked in about 9 o'clock on Sunday night. And we walked in and that woman said, what are you men doing up here in ICU this late? It's past visiting hours. I said, Jesus sent us down here to pray for Martha Scott so she can get well. She said, well, in that case, I'll let you and one other man go in that room. So me and one man went in that room. I quoted a few verses, knelt down beside her bed, prayed the prayer of faith for her, rebuked the devil, went out of that room, walked in. Her daddy's a Baptist preacher. Her brother's a Baptist preacher. And all of us guys that were there, we all knelt and prayed another 15, 20, 30 minutes and worshiped and praised the Lord. We got in that van, drove back an hour back to Justin. Worshipped and praised the King all the way back. The next afternoon at 4 o'clock, I thought before he's gone home, I'll call him at the church to see how Martha is. I said, how's Martha? He said, Thurman, the doctors don't understand. Her fat count is changing so fast. I said, you mean she ain't home yet? He said, not yet, but said, at this rate, she will be soon. I expected the King to do a greater miracle, and the only reason he didn't do it quicker is because of all the unbelief is in that place.
That's right.
But let me tell you, Wednesday night, I walked into service, and sitting right over here was Martha. And let me tell you, that's been years ago, and the other day, I was out at Justin, and that pastor was back visiting that Sunday afternoon when I happened to be out there. I said, by the way, brother, have you ever started preaching healing in your church yet? He kind of hung his head and he said, no, Thurman. I said, how's Martha doing? Oh, he said, she's totally well. She's okay. She ain't never had another problem. I looked him right in the eye and I said, you know, I'd hate to be in your shoes one day when you stand before the King.
That's right.
I said, I'd hate to be in your shoes when you stand before the King.
That's right.
I said, he told you to preach the word. And I said, you are going to be accountable to the King of the universe as one of his pastors. And you have deceived the people by not speaking what you know is the truth. I said, God has healed your daughter, he's healed your sister, and he's done all these mighty miracles, and you got to see him heal Fred Simmons right there that day from terminal cancer instantly overnight on Sunday night. When I said, let's pray for him before he goes home, and the next morning, Monday, he went to the hospital, and there was no prostate cancer. I said, you saw God do all those things, and you still refuse to teach his word. I said, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I don't want to be playing church when I go home. Amen. I'd rather the world and even the church say, this guy's crazy. That's right. I don't care who I please as long as I please the King. Right. As long as we please the King. Amen. We're going to please a few of the church. You ain't going to please them all. Right. But you please a few. But we only want to please one when we come home. Right. And that's Jesus. Love. Be walking in love, doing what he says. And when you do that, when you're a man of faith, the world, not only the world, the church will not understand you. But that's okay. Jesus will show up and do mighty signs and miracles and wonders for you. And I love to see him answer my prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you're always here. I thank you that you come to confirm your word. Now, Lord, as people come forth for prayer, whatever it may be to make Jesus Lord of their life, to get saved, to get healed, to get delivered, or to stand in proxy for their mates or their children or whatever they come for. I ask you to meet every need and answer every prayer and bring great glory and honor to the name of Jesus, because he came and defeated the devil so we can do these things in his name. And Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for these women that are mothers. And every woman that's here, even though she may not have been privileged or blessed to be a mother, I ask you to bless every woman here in a mighty way, whether they be young or old. Bless them this week in a mighty way so they can be used of you for your glory. But Lord, for the men also, I ask you to bless everyone so we will go from here today more knowledgeable of who we are in Christ. And may we be used of you for your glory to do great and mighty things this week in the precious name of our Savior. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.